People that really excel at what they do, they tend to be very energetic at it. The reason they are energetic at it is because they are very connected to the thing they are doing. It's worth it finding what you are connected to. So it's okay to try different things. But when you find it, you know, you double down, triple down, consume it, inhale it, just make sure that, you know, you take it. If you keep changing your goals or changing what you're interested in, if you keep changing your interests every few months or years, you can't really go very far in the long term. The kind of people that tend to rise in a corporate ladder are those that just show up and do the work, and they just keep doing the work. They don't care whether anybody's looking, they just do the work. There were times when indeed I was tempted to want to leave, or I had other places that I turned my eyes to. At nights and on weekends, my head is totally somewhere else. There were ways I was able to cope with that while at Money Point. Sometimes I would work on different projects, right? If you work on different projects, you don't get bored. You're not doing the same thing. Being able to work on different projects went a long way.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Tech Journey Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Adebayo, and today's conversation is going to be so good, so you want to stay till the end of this episode, because I have with me today, I have Julian Duru here with me. So if you're not familiar with Julian, Julian is the former principal software engineer at Money Point, and Julian played a huge role in scaling Money Point's infrastructure in his 10 years at Money Point, and now Money Point is valued as a unicorn, and unicorn simply means that Money Point is valued at over $1 billion. That's huge. So I'm very excited to have you join me today, Julian. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Yes, I'm great, actually. I'm very happy to be here. It's great to be here, actually.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And for people listening and watching, fun fact is Julian and I actually attended the same secondary school. So we attended ISL together. That's International School, University of Lagos. And I knew him back then as Dumebi. And yeah. I think my memory of him is that he's always been so smart, because on Prizegiving Day... On Prizegiving Day, when, you know, the when people like us are getting maybe 2 to 3 gifts on Prizegiving Day, you see Julian carry like 10, 11 gifts on Prizegiving Day. And you hear like, mathematics, Julian or Dude, maybe everybody's clapping before he leaves again. You know, you're hearing further mathematics, physics, chemistry. He's literally just bagging all the prizes. And I'm very excited that you've carried that same excellent spirit into your career, into everything you do. So when I heard about how, you know, the impact you had at Money Point, I was like, okay, yeah, I'd really like to have you on the podcast to share your story. Mm-hmm. And today, we are diving into all the, you know, interesting bits and pieces that not many people know about. So again, welcome. It's good to have you on our chair today.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. So let's get started with something that I think many people would be interested in knowing, right? Because when the whole article about your retiring from Money Point came out, it literally blew. Everybody was retweeting it. It was on the blogs. I don't know if you even expected that kind of response.
I did not expect any of that. I just wanted to update people that I've left. It wasn't meant to be that serious, but the thing just went viral. Like, I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it literally went viral. Everybody was manifesting, calculating everything you're exiting with. But I think what many people would like to know is, how did you even get started with Money Point? Like, how did you get your job at Money Point? I read somewhere that a friend introduced you to Tosin. So Tosin is the CEO of Money Point. But is that true?
Yeah, yeah. Tosin is the CEO. And when he was starting the company, that was roughly 2015. I say 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he was looking for people to join his startup. And a mutual friend of ours recommended me to him. And then that's how I went to his apartment. Then he was staying at 1004 in VI. So I went to his apartment. We had like a brief talk, just talked about a few things. And then he asked me, when can I start? And then I started like pretty much immediately. And that's how I came in. It was
Oh, really? So it was pretty straightforward. It's not like you had to do like
Yeah,
10
and
steps of interview.
And he was just starting the company at the time, so he was relying a lot on referrals within his network. At the time, I had already gotten a reputation in Unilag computer science department as a programmer, whiz kid type person. I used to spend a lot of my time writing code back then. So when he was starting out, I guess I was just like a popular choice, like someone just re that's how he recommended me. And so that's how I got in, really, because I'd already been writing software for a long time before I joined Moneypoint.
Yeah, awesome. So, let's go back to Unilag computer science. I think that was where it started off for you, even though I know you started writing code at like 14, right? So what was the inspiration behind even starting to code? Did you see someone that you kind of admired, or like what pushed you towards that direction?
Yeah, I think there were two things. So the first one was my own personal research at the time. There were some concepts I was researching in mathematics around propositional logic and things around that domain. And so I stumbled upon Prolog. Prolog is a kind of programming language, but it's for programming logic and logic statements. And so I kind of stumbled on that. I got fascinated with the kind of things I could do with it and how I could represent different kinds of logic with the programming language, So I got fascinated with that. Was like my first fascination with programming. But then I now started to look up other forms of programming languages. At the time, roughly at the time, we were being introduced to programming in our classes, where we were using Visual Basic and Python. Yeah, so Visual Basic and Python, I started out with those. And what would happen is, because of the nature of the act, you are applying logic, you are solving practical problems, you are being creative, and a lot of those were things that I'd already been honing for a while. Like I'd spent a lot of my early years doing a lot of math and physics and solving problems, and so I just liked that kind of thing. So what would happen is after my lectures, I would spend extra hours writing code, just learning, building all kinds of stuff, experimenting with different ideas, and all of that just added up over time, and I became quite proficient at it.
Nice. And when you say you were learning, were you like watching tutorials, reading books? What was that learning experience like for you?
Yeah, I think it was just reading. I had a bunch of books that I would just read and practice it was reading, practicing. I didn't do a lot of tutorials back then, but from the books I read, the books were quite comprehensive. These days you can learn a lot from maybe YouTube or even ChatGPT or whatever. So there are just so many tools out there right now. But I used books when I was starting out, and it worked for me.
Awesome, awesome. So, I think for you, it's kind of been, I would say, a straightforward path in that sense, because even right from leaving like secondary school, you entered computer science, and then from computer science, started to code and landed your job at Moneypoint. But for a lot of people, they start something, they stop, they move on to another industry, they start, they stop. So, from your experience, do you think people really need to find their path, or they need to just try different things and see which one works for them, or they just find their path, commit to something, and eventually it will pay off?
So these things are not so straightforward because it kind of varies from one person to the next. And generally speaking, it's always better to have like your efforts applied consistently towards a certain direction over a long time. That way, you can reap more benefits over time as you are working towards that same goal. But if you keep changing your goals or changing what you're interested in, if you keep changing your interests every few months or years, you can't really go very far in the long term. But then again, there's the flip side, which is that, you know, sometimes people just need to try different things until they find what sticks for them. You get, so it's not a case of saying, you know, you picked something you wanted to work on and you're going to stick with it, even when it's looking like, oh, now you have a bigger worldview, you understand yourself better. Maybe those things you wanted before, maybe they weren't the right things to want. So like I said, you know, I'm in favor of trying different things, seeing where your energy lies, because, you know, it's about your energy. That's where you feel the most energetic, right? That's typically how people do most of what they do, especially those that get to excel. People that really excel at what they do, they tend to be very energetic at it. And the reason they're energetic at it is because they are very connected to the thing they are doing. So, you know, it's worth it finding what you're connected to. So it's okay to try different things. But when you find it, you know, you double down, triple down, you know, consume it, inhale it, just make sure that you make sure that, you know, you take it up.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, actually, because I think many times people start something and they instantly want to see growth or want to see results immediately they start. And you even don't know why they started in the first place. Were they truly interested in that particular path, or was it a friend that coerced them into starting? So I think it's important to know why you're starting something in the first place. And really, it's a personal thing at the end of the day, right? If you truly are geared towards a particular industry or towards a particular thing, I think in your heart, there'll just be this tugging like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing this, or I'd like to do this. And if you follow that path, I'll just want to say, stick to it. It would definitely not be easy, because you talked about your learning journey, how you had to, you know, learn after lectures. I'm sure it wasn't easy at all. But now people see the results and they want to be like Julia, and they want to be like people that, you know, would achieve a lot. But the journey is never green. It's never really greener on the other side. So it's fine to try things out and, you know, just explore. And if you find something you're truly passionate about, just follow that path. And in your case, it was money points at that time. So let's peel back the layer. What was it like working at Money Points? I know you started there as, you know, I think you were promoted at different points. Like, you had like 3-4 promotions, but you started off as like an engineer. So how was that whole journey and Money Point like?
Yes, I played different roles throughout my time there, but also my experience there, I got to work on different projects. And in the early days, it was like with any other startup, right? There was a level of intensity that we all worked at. There were real stakes. The projects were really tight. We had tight deadlines that we needed to meet. When we started out, we weren't delivering products to businesses or to end customers. We were delivering products to banks, mostly banks, financial institutions, but mostly banks. And so we had very tight deadlines with a lot of our projects. Sometimes it was also that, you know, the projects there was a lot of involvement with the key stakeholders in the bank's side, people who wanted to see the project succeed, and so they were heavily involved with these projects. And because of their involvement, you know, it's sometimes we didn't have a lot of leg room with the projects that we're working with. You know, we always had that challenge. But over time, as time went on, you know, we started to pivot in terms of the products we're offering. So we weren't just offering products to banks. We now started to offer products to businesses, and also to eventually we came up with personal banking as well. But in the early days, it was quite stressful and intense. Like I mentioned, it was quite stressful. It was quite intense. You know, there was a project I worked on where for like a period of a couple of months, I was like the only one on the project because we're quite stretched. and I had to just play different roles on the project, and it was a pretty intense period for me. And so yeah, it was like that really. It wasn't all rosy, but we pulled through.
When you joined Money Point, like how many engineers in total were you at that point?
When I joined, I don't think we were up to 10. Like, we were just really,
It was pretty small team.
yeah, it was a pretty small team. We weren't up to 10. Yeah, we weren't even up to 10. We were just a very small team.
Quick pause from the episode because if you've been job hunting and feeling stuck, I need you to hear this. Hired is my 3-day career accelerator that I designed for folks like you, those that are tired of applying, hearing nothing back, and want a step-by-step guide on how to land their dream tech job. Inside Hired, I don't just talk about how to fix your resume based on generic advice. I actually walk you step by step on how to craft an ATS and keyworded optimized resume that attracts recruiters. And that's not all. I also teach you how to turn your LinkedIn profile into a direct job invite magnet. I'll also show you how to craft a job search plan that saves you time and gets you results. People like Bukola join Hired. Follow the steps and has this to say. Hired is the most step-by-step plan I've come across. I finally know what to do every single day. Now Bukola is on her way to land her dream role and you could be the next. If you're tired of guessing and want a real strategy that works, then visit thefreelancehq.com/hired or check the description box below for a link to save your seat. Let's get you hired. Now back to the episode. Okay. Yeah, that's good to hear, to see how you were a small team and now you've scaled. I don't know if you are familiar with the numbers right now in terms of employee numbers at
Yeah,
Money Point.
at the last time I checked, that they were in thousands. I know maybe over 2,000.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow,
Over
that's amazing to see how much you scaled in 10 years. Like,
Yep.
that's a lot.
Yep.
So, I think my next question is, knowing that you started off as, like, I have it here, you started off in 2015 as lead software engineer, and last year you were promoted to principal software engineer, and you were kind of like just moving in 2015, 2017, you were promoted almost every 2 years, kind of. So, promotion and working at the place and getting promoted in 10 years, like multiple promotions in that number of years is an incredible thing to do. Yeah, there are people that are at their jobs and they probably just get promoted once, or they struggle to even get that visibility to, get promoted. For you, if you had to like pinpoint these things that helped you rise fast in Money Points to like 3 things that you did at your job, what would you pinpoint these 3 things as?
I mean, okay, let me start. I hope I can get up to three, but one of the first
Okay.
ones, first one I'll say is definitely ownership.
Okay.
And ownership is like a sense that you bring to the work you're doing. So when you have ownership, you just feel that sense of responsibility. You don't also limit yourself to your job description, right? You meaning that you are someone who does whatever it takes to see the project over the line. And so that means that, you help the team in whatever capacity. You don't say, because this doesn't fall within my job description, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not going to be interested in it. The kind of people that tend to rise in a corporate ladder are those that just show up and do the work, and they just keep doing the work. They don't care whether anybody's looking, or they don't care, whatever. They just do the work. And so that is the ownership mindset that comes, and it's the way the ownership mindset reflects itself when you are working, right? You just do the work. So that's the first thing. And I'll say it goes a long way, because it also translates to energy, and then it translates to the next point. It translates to the next point. The next point is, should I say, conscientiousness, right? That is the next point I will say. And that is the will to do good work and to excel at the work you do. And that is very, very important if you are going to rise in any corporate ladder, or if you are going to excel in your career. You need to be conscientious. You need to be someone that cares about the quality of your work, quality of your output. You care about how your work is received, and you're willing to make those adjustments to keep improving and doing good work. So that also goes a long way. And I think that's it. The last one I would say is also just, you know, guarding your reputation. So your reputation is basically how people perceive you. And, you know, over time, reputation is just what will speak for you in your career. So it's the people who have worked with you before that would recommend you elsewhere or talk about you elsewhere. And so, you know, if you guard that reputation, you know, it's going to cause you to at least bring your best to every bit of interaction that you have with people and even at work, and try to make sure that you are positively remembered, and all of that will count over time. So yeah, those are my few nuggets. I hope I've been able to.
Yeah, they were very useful actually. You talked about ownership, conscientiousness, and then you talked about reputation. So that's OCR. Yeah, and I can definitely see how you did that also. You're not just saying the stuff, but actually it reflects in what you did at Money Point throughout the 10 years. And you were able to stay in Money Point for 10 years. Particularly, I don't think I can stay at a company, I don't know, for 10 years. It requires a lot of dedication, right? You see people in tech, this year they're at the company, another year they're getting poached by another person with higher pay. So it takes a certain level of discipline and belief in a vision for one to stay for that number of years. So for you, being at Money Point for 10 years, that's a decade, a decade of your life at a company. What would you say, like, what really just made you stay? Even if it's one thing, what did you really enjoy at Money Point? Because I'm sure because of your reputation, you probably have gotten, you know, messages from other companies, different things. So what would you say made you stay at Money Point?
Yes, so I guess the first thing was the, should I say, the feeling of belonging that we all had at the company, especially at the early days when we were starting out. Those of us that were starting out the company, we had known each other from time. We knew each other from school. We used to hang out in our hostels. So we've known each other for a very long time. There was that sense of brotherhood and sisterhood for those of us that knew each other. You know, we just had that closeness. And so, you know, people just couldn't leave anyhow because we all just had that bond first. But at the same time, the CEO, that's Tosin, he had done a very good job of selling the vision to the team. Which is, the vision is like the, you know, what we're trying to do and the end goal and getting us fired and very, very passionate about what we're trying to do. So the combination of those went a long way in, you know, like keeping at least at the early days. Then there was also, you know, over time, of course, there were times when indeed I was tempted to want to leave or I had other places that I turned my eyes to. But, you know, there were ways I was able to cope with that while at Money Point. Sometimes I would work on different projects, right? If you work on different projects, you don't get bored. You're not doing the same thing. So, you know, being able to work on different projects went a long way. You know, then there was also the fact that just the fact that I had good relationship with the people I was working with, that was why I was able to make these requests. Okay, I want to work on this project. I want to work on this project. You know, I was just able to do some of that. And so, yeah, you know, that's how I was able to manage staying there for that long. I just did different things, kept myself busy, kept myself engaged.
Yeah.
And that was it, really.
So more like the... I say the bond you guys had created over time just kind of just helped you, you know, feel at home,
yeah,
more or less feel like it was a family. Yeah,
and, exactly.
Okay, nice. And do you remember any time back at Money Point that you maybe had to do a very difficult task or something just went wrong and you were like, oh my God? Yeah, is there any experience like that, or
Yeah, I would
were there
always talk
many?
about. Yeah, there were maybe a couple of times,
Okay.
but I would always talk about the time when I was working on one of my first projects there, which was the Olympus project. And back then, we're still just starting out, so it was a very small company. On the Olympus project itself, I think there was a time when I was like the primary person working on it, pretty much the only person working on it. So I had to like do work of like maybe three or four people. I was pretty stretched. I had to put insane hours consistently. There was no work-life balance, no such thing as that at that point in time. But I just kept at it. I really stressed myself that period, but eventually, the project stabilized. And we also got more people on the project, and things eased out. Yeah, so that was one time that I really went
That
through
it
it.
was really stressful.
Yeah, a couple
How
of
what
months.
was that period like? Like how long was it, a month, 2 months?
It was a couple of months, honestly. It was like maybe from maybe 3 to 5 months. I can't really remember, but
That's
roughly
long.
that. It was a while.
Yeah, and at what point did you now know it was time to leave? Because what made you come up with that decision and say, okay, finally, after spending years, it's time for me to move on to another adventure?
Okay, first off, over the past couple of years, I've had my interest in a bunch of ideas, mostly around decentralized systems, artificial intelligence, blockchain. And so these ideas don't directly coincide with Moneypoint's business. They are not within Moneypoint's area of domain. And so I found myself being in situations where I was doing a lot of my work that was at Moneypoint, 9 to 5, clocking in the hours, delivering my tasks. But at nights and on weekends, my head is totally somewhere else. I have something else I'm researching or something else I'm doing or digging into. And in the long run, I want to be working on the one thing I'm interested in. I don't want to be putting my head in different things. It wasn't. I didn't think in the long run it would be good for me. So, given that this decentralized intelligence domain that I've been interested in, it has been taking a lot more of my head space. I felt that okay, over time, I think it's better if I just focus on it. I've done a decade at Moneypoint. I think that's a good amount of time. Paid my dues there. It's a good amount of time we've put there, so we can go and do something else for the next decade and see where it
Yeah,
leads.
literally for the next decade. Yeah, it's very similar to what we spoke about earlier about trying something and then, moving on to the next thing. Because what you said is like this whole idea of, decentralized system was always tugging your heart weekends, and it's like maybe on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it occupies a large part of your head, and then Monday you literally have to reset yourself, right? Come to a different mental mode to then do the work. So I think at some point people just need to be, honest and sensitive with them to themselves to know when the next season is, because it's good that for you knew and you really literally paid your dues at Money Point, and now they're already a unicorn. So
I tried our best. I tried our best.
no, you did really well. You did really well. So, outside of work and decentralized systems and writing of code and reading books, what else do you do to have fun?
I like to cycle. Like I have a bicycle. I like
interesting.
to sometimes. I like to play video games. Sometimes myself. Sometimes with friends.
Okay.
I have a drone. Sometimes when I'm not, I just fly my drone, take pictures and videos, and just have fun with it.
Have fun.
I just like to hang out with friends and loved ones and just chill, really. Watch a football game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you watch football? Do you have a club?
Whenever I can. I'm a United fan. I mean,
oh my God, I'm a United fan. Don't tell me about yesterday.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, we are used to it. Same old. You know, another season we'll go again.
Yeah, we'll go again. Definitely go again. That's good to hear. So what should we expect from Julian with your decentralized system? Is there anything that you're particularly, you know, cooking up and you want to share?
I mean, yeah, we're still working on the problems. And the interesting part is that, you know, there are entire communities of people who are also interested in the space. Some people have been working at it for years, even years before we've come in. And so there's a lot we can learn from others. You know, over the next couple of months, you know, we're working on building out proof of concept for our ideas and just bringing something to life. Then the intention is to open source the project. So it will be an open source project. Anyone can contribute to it. Anyone can interact with the project, contribute in any way that they want. And so we'll just keep doing that. I'm also opening myself up to collaborations with people, friends, or people that are interested in working on stuff, you know, similar ideas. Yeah, exactly. And we'll just figure out ways that we can synergize. And so, I'm just taking it chill, really, and finding ways to be happy in the moment, you know.
And that's and enjoying your money. You didn't mention that. And enjoy your money. That's good. Bro. Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see all that, you know, that you come up with. I'm sure that it will all be a success, and wishing you the very best in every single thing you do.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, this has been a fun conversation and I've enjoyed it. Thank you for your time, Julian.
Sure. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It was great having a conversation with you.
Yeah, it was. Thank you everyone for joining this episode and I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you in another episode. Bye.